go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're concluding our very important conversation with Dr. Peter Navarro, a prize-winning documentarian, a best-selling author, a professor in the Mirage School of Business at the University of California, Irvine, and an absolutely wonderful guest. It's always great to have you with us, Peter. Let me just hit you with a couple of things quickly, a lightning round, if you will, that I'm very intrigued by. One is we've heard for years about a particular threat from the Chinese. It's a little opaque as to exactly what it is, and I'm not sure whether it's a weapon system or it's just more generally kind of what they're what you've really just described here in terms of the asymmetric approach to warfighting that the Chinese have engaged in. It's been called Assassin's Mace. What do you make of that?
Frank, it's literally translated more like what we think of as a silver bullet. So it's any weapon that the Chinese think can be used to neutralize our forces in Asia. So it could be the collapse of our electricity grid through cyber hacking, at the same time that China takes down our stock market and financial markets and creates chaos in America as a way of bringing us to our knees.
Peter, let me ask you about something that, again, you touched on earlier, but that's really of concern to me, and that is the enormous investment the Communist China has made in building up its industrial base to support the kind of external aggression, power projection forces, and so on that we have reason to be concerned about. And you've chronicled now in Crouching Tiger and your documentary film series of the same name. You mentioned fifth-generation fighter aircraft being something they're going to be able to crank out like sausages, but is that also true of ships? I've been told that there are something like 100 shipyards in China that are capable of manufacturing one kind or another of naval platforms, including, of course, tankers and freighters and the like, but also combatants. Is that right?
If you go to the CrouchingTiger.net site, go to the clips link and find Seth Cropsey of the Hudson Institute. He does a beautiful riff in the book and movie on ships. We're down from 600 at the height of the Reagan years to close to 200 today, not anywhere near enough to maintain our readiness across the globe. And what Cropsey does is talk about how, as our shipyards have withered and died, the people who have the craftsmanship to be able to build ships are going away. And Cropsey says that if we have a problem and we need more ships, it's going to take at least 10 years to restore that capability. And as he says, that's a very long time. Meanwhile, Chinese shipyards are just booming. They're basically churning out everything you need for aircraft carrier strike groups. They're building the fastest growing submarine fleet, and what they don't build, they buy from the Russians. And so this whole notion of industrial base, you got to remember, we beat the Nazis, we beat Imperial Japan with brave sailors and soldiers and pilots, but ultimately what we beat them with was our manufacturing might. We outproduced them and overwhelmed them. That's what China is going to do to us if we're not careful.
Well, not being careful is one of the concerns here, of course, and very much the point of your very considerable efforts to raise the alarm, Dr. Peter Navarro. Let me just sort of summarize where we are, or ask you to do so. The author of the foreword to your new book, Crouching Tiger, is our regular guest here at Secure Freedom Radio, Gordon Chang. We talk frequently about an issue, and I'd like to just get your thoughts on this, if I can, quickly. One is, are we really looking, in terms of the internal domestic turmoil, which is considerable, as you know, the economic and political repercussions of slowing growth rates and demographic difficulties and the unpopularity of the Communist Party and so on, translating into a very much greater likelihood of what's been called by various authoritarian governments social engineering, which is to say manufacturing external threats to justify domestic repression. Is that, in your judgment, creating a heightened danger for us? Or is this danger emerging no matter what is going on domestically in China?
In the Crouching Tiger book, there's a whole chapter on Wag the Dog. That was an old American film about how a president created a crisis externally in order to get reelected. And actually, in foreign policy doctrine, it's pretty common for countries to create external threats. The worst-case scenario here, Frank, is a collapse of the Chinese economy, and in response, whipping up a crisis that involves probably Japan, because they're the great big enemy in the sky for the Chinese people. And since we're allied with Japan, we get pulled in as well. So, you know, one of the flashpoints and trigger points for war that I discuss in Crouching Tiger is precisely what you're talking about. And it's very real. And it's even more complicated now because Xi Jinping, let's make no mistake about that, he is the Putin of China. He has the same philosophy of expansionism based on revanchist claims. He is a politician who, as we speak, is whipping up nationalist sentiment to support his various campaigns. And I think this is one of the possibilities we're going to have to deal with. And unless we have somebody strong in the White House, Xi Jinping's going to roll right over that White House.
You know, just on that last point, Peter, one of the things that is a particular concern to me, and I imagine to you too, is the prospect that if there is now, as a result of the one-child policy, a vast number of Chinese men for whom there are no women. Some have said it's 30 million, some have said it's 40 million. I have no idea, but whatever it is, it's a lot of cannon fodder. Is that not a further impelling consideration for external expansionism? And bottom line, does this lead you to the conclusion that unless we do something rather dramatically different, war with China is in fact inevitable, a war that's much more kinetic than the one that you would argue is underway now?
At the end of the Crouching Tiger book, I work through the pathways to peace. And my goal not is gloom and doom, but rather to recognize the seriousness of the threat and try to figure out what to do about it. And the only thing we can really do, Frank, is to basically rely on a Chinese doctrine, which is the notion of comprehensive national power. In the Chinese view, military power is only a small part of the overall power of a nation, and they rightly recognize that if you don't have a strong economy and a strong manufacturing base, you can't build the weapon systems. If you don't have a strong economy and your manufacturing base, you can't generate the tax revenues to pay for the weapon systems. If you don't have a good education system, you don't get the innovation. If you don't have a favorable business climate, you can't really move forward with economic growth. And so ultimately, Frank, what this is all about on our end is finding a president for our times who recognizes the seriousness of the Chinese threat and will put that as numero uno on his list or her list of what needs to get done and goes about the prospect of doing it, because China is going to be a very serious threat right up until 2050 in their 100-year anniversary, and that's the year basically that they believe they will be the reigning superpower of the world.
Peter Navarro, a very sobering thought, a very clear call to action by not just the would-be presidents of the United States, but of course to the American people. Thank you for rendering all of this in your companion efforts, The Crouching Tiger, What China's Militarism Means for the World book, and the series of 11 documentary films under the Crouching Tiger brand. Come back to us again very soon, Peter. But in the meantime, Godspeed in your very important work. Keep it up. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.